Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
You are now listening to Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn. Time to get embarrassed with us.
Oh my God, was that a phone?
Oh, there he is.
We have a phone call already and we just began, Jimmy.
It's like a half robot host.
Allison is coming.
It is.
It's coming to us from New Orleans.
I mean, you guys, I mean, best decision I've ever made in my entire life.
Are you chilling like with a gator right now?
Well, I'm on the porch with a banana and a red stripe. So basically, yes.
A banana and a red stripe.
Welcome to
as God intended.
Lost and Rewound New Orleans edition. Except we're not in New Orleans, but one of our guests is totally laughing it up in alcohol and beads and money. And I mean, you just finished up with Mardi Gras recently. How was that experience?
It was fucking crazy.
Amazing, as it should be.
Yeah.
Did you see lots of tentaculars?
Actually, not really, but I saw a lot of floats and a lot of puke and a lot of dancing.
Beautiful.
Nice.
And beats. A lot of beats.
Nice.
Lost and Rewound comes to you every week on Radio Free Brooklyn from 3 to 4 p.m., and if you want to contribute any of your old audio from the yesteryears,
you can email us at lostandrewound@radiofreebrooklyn.org. And if you want to donate to our show and keep it funky, fresh, and free.
And fabulous.
Oh, yes. You can do so at...
Is that to me?
Yes, that's to you over the phone.
www.radiofreebrooklyn.org/LAR.
To us.
For us personally.
Yeah, for us personally. But if you want to contribute a whole amount of money to the station, to our community, we are a 501c3 non-for-profit. Contributions are tax deductible. It's all for a good cause. We got a great.
Hey guys, it's 80. I'm in 80 degrees right
of
now.
Of course
you
are. Yeah. Well. Okay.
Well, it's like 60 it's here.
Yeah.
So
it's
we're
okay.
Chilling.
It's chilling. Yeah. We got a little bit of rain over the last day or so. For full disclosure, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, but we don't have like snakes and big bugs.
Well,
you got all that. You got frogs and such.
Of course.
Like you can go out and catch a toad without that much difficulty.
Okay.
Hey, Allison, we got to get started. You want to stick around and be a part of this week's edition?
Of course.
Let's do it.
Chug, a.k.a. Trevor Scranton, fresh off the Coast Guard duty. He's here. He's been wrapping around these parts and from down south, specifically Georgia, now for 16 years. Welcome, Rum Chug, to the studio.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Good to see you, man.
Good being here.
Can I call you Mr. Rum Chug or Rum Chug, or should I call you Trevor?
You're just Rum Chug School, yeah. Sure, why not?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Rum Chug's dad.
How do you get the name Rum Chug? Immediately to mind, I have to ask that.
The origins of it actually came from a D&D game. And I never really got into it, but I was dabbling in it. I had some friends playing it. And I really liked pirates. A lot of stuff I was writing at the time kind of revolved around philosophies of freedom and stuff like that. You know, I'm not really much of a drinker. I can't chug rum, really, but I liked the idea of drinking a lot back then.
Have you tried chugging rum before?
Yeah, but didn't go...
With a name like Rum Chug, you gotta give it a shot.
Didn't go well, I'm a lightweight.
At least once.
Good thing her name is not like shoot myself in the temple.
Oh my god.
When you created this moniker, were you playing around with like a few other monikers, or was that one like, yes, if I'm gonna have a rap name, that's my rap name, that's my artist name?
Yeah, there wasn't really much else I was thinking of. I mean, I created the name and I liked it, and that was before I started the music. And
right.
Then I got into the music, and it's okay. That's my MC name. Maybe I started out as more like MC Rumchug, just so people knew what I was about. But then I eventually just kind of dropped the MC.
The origin of that thought was, if you were like a Russian rapper and your name was Russian Roulette, you know what I'm saying? You know, every once in a while, people would it'd be a good name for a Russian rapper.
I like that, yeah.
Right? But people would challenge you every so often, right? Like, it would happen. You know, and you'd like, if you're like, no, I don't play, people are like, all right, guy. Like, what's the deal?
Jimmy was saying that you're in the Coast Guard. How long have you been serving?
7.5 years now.
What prompted you to do that?
Oh, well, I graduated college at a bad time. It was around the 08 recession. Moved away from my major. I studied broadcasting, but they kind of pushed me towards local news, and I didn't like that at all. I had a job offer in Savannah. I didn't want to take it, so I said, I'm going to move back to Atlanta. So I moved back to Atlanta. That's when I started dabbling in stunts and martial arts and bouncing. And I worked at UPS for a while. And just after kind of like 3.5 years, I was like, okay, I should do something. And I didn't want to go back to college. I didn't want to get loans and go for a master's degree.
Right.
The military had been in the back of my mind, but I always put it off. And
when you said that you were bouncing, do you mean like at a bar?
Yeah. Bars in Buckhead. There was the Park Bench and Peachtree Tavern.
I could see that. You seem like you don't take any guff from those swine.
I don't dispute the desire to move to another city and try something on, but I am curious, when you said that you were not into doing local news, what was it about being in broadcast and then having the opportunity to start at the local level that did not seem appealing to you?
Huh. I don't know. Like, sometimes I think, like, I sabotaged myself, but, you know, I was just like, okay, the pay in Savannah sucked, and it wasn't like stuff I could see myself doing for a couple of years. Maybe it was just youthful impatience, shall we say.
Yeah, you always are making decisions that are risks at the time. I think there's a lot more risk when you move to a totally different city. But you're from the South originally, right?
Yeah.
And where exactly, what town are you from?
Dunwoody, Georgia. It's on the, it's a suburb north of Atlanta, kind of outside of Sandy Springs.
And your parents are from that same area as well?
No, we're not a Southern family.
Really?
My dad was from New Jersey. My mom was from East Ohio.
Where in Jersey?
Yeah.
He went to Mountain Lakes High School.
Oh, where's that in Jersey?
I guess North Jersey.
Okay.
But
I'm from Westfield.
I don't know. I guess Central, like in the 70s and 80s, that's when, you know, a lot of jobs were coming down south, and Atlanta was starting to boom, and outsiders like me came up there, yeah.
You sneaky, sneaky Yankee doodle dandy.
What kind of scene were you getting into in college? Obviously, you had your academics, but then extracurricularly, you might have gotten involved in some cool social scene?
Not really. Well, it was Georgia Southern University in Statesboro, Georgia, a very small area, not much to do out there. So I don't know. I didn't really do much like extracurriculars. I had, you know, a small group of friends who I hung out with, would often go back to Atlanta, hang out with some friends. Like, I wasn't really, I mean, I'd catch some shows, like, in Athens and Atlanta and stuff.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, you're close to a hotbed of music just by being right there in the region of Georgia. So when you were in high school, even before you got to college, you were probably taking advantage of that.
Not really.
Really?
No, that was like, yeah, I didn't really get heavy into, like, punk rock or anything until my college years, yeah.
It was punk rock first?
Hip-hop first, but there wasn't really, like, I don't know, I guess it's maybe, like, hip-hop's live problem, where it's not, like, maybe I just needed to look deeper at the time, but it just wasn't, like, indie hip-hop acts all around, or maybe they were hard to find.
Which kind of shows were you hitting up more, and would you say that there was a parallel between them? Indie punk rock shows or indie hip-hop shows?
Indie punk rock. Yeah, definitely. I don't know. It just seemed more accessible, easier to find. I would just, even look around New York City. You can just kind of look around some of the grimy hole in the walls and you can find some punk rock. Like, even in Charleston, when I was living in Charleston, there was like a little punk rock bar near me and called Tin Roof that I'd hang out at. Punk rock, but I guess with my music, the way it influenced me, like it, I kind of consider it hip-hop, but with kind of a punk rock soul.
Okay. How did that description come through? Was that like an immediate sort of description that you wanted to implement, or did that come through over time in a sort of evolution, if you will?
It was just something I wanted. Maybe the sound wasn't readily available. Maybe it wasn't something I could quite achieve, but it was kind of like fist-pumping, moshing type spirit in punk rock. I wanted to kind of bring that out in my hip hop because, well, at the time I didn't play guitar or anything. It was just me and my drum machines.
You were playing instruments. You weren't playing any instruments at all, rather, when you were younger.
No, I'm not a musically trained person. Like, kind of like tried trumpet in middle school. That didn't work out. Yeah, my freshman year of college, I went on eBay, bought a Boss DR5 drum machine, and just started playing around from there. Later on, I was like, okay, I'm kind of developing rhythm through the record functions.
Mm-hmm.
And so then later on, I started playing bass, and it branched out to other things.
That's a hard instrument to play, too. That's not the easiest instrument to learn.
I guess it was just kind of me, like, starting out trying to play some Misfits songs and just kind of...
That's dope.
...developing the rhythms and, yeah.
Do you have any siblings?
Two, yeah. I'm the middle.
You're the middle child in a family of three.
Allison, the sandwich.
The sandwich kid.
Yeah.
It's good to be the meat.
Are either of your siblings, be it the younger or the older one, musically inclined?
My brother was. Actually, he got a lot of like pushing into it because he could sing. And he was in the Atlanta Boy Choir. With them, he went to Italy and Russia.
Hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. Did he bring down the wall?
No.
But you guys didn't travel. He went on his own.
He went, yeah.
That's such a marvelous opportunity, that being imposed into your life, that knowing that you have a sibling who has achieved like that. But that inspired you at all in what you wanted to do with music on your own, knowing that you wanted to do something much different?
Not really, no, because my brother, he actually didn't really take the love of music with him. Like, the thing with the Atlanta Boy Choir, you know, these dudes would sing maybe from the ages of like 8 till 12, and then their voices start to change. And so
yeah,
they get kicked out of the boy choir, and he just didn't really do any music after that. He was
ain't no man choir.
Like, he didn't even he didn't really like listen to music even. Like me, I was always buying CDs and stuff, but he didn't get into music. Yeah.
It was his penance for becoming a man.
I seem to recall that we had a guest on one time, Robin Irene Moss, who was talking about when she was younger and she didn't listen to any current music at all. She only listened to classical music. And I wonder if, like, there may be something when you're classically trained to sing, and maybe you just don't necessarily have the interest in being as in tune to what is the current. I don't know if that makes sense at all, but clearly you were trying.
Yeah, probably. Your tastes are always going to be defined by what you've heard before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, for me, when I was a kid, my dad listened to all, like, classic rock. So I feel like I have a lot of classic rock sensibility because of listening to that.
Yeah.
And then get nostalgia. You know, it depends on what kind of feelings you're looking for. You know, my grandmother smoked cigarettes, so, like, I get nostalgia from the smell of smoke. Doesn't mean that, like, I enjoy it. It's just weird. You can't describe why. And music's the same way. If you have roots in something, it's going to help you to define your taste in the future just because of, like, trying to get back some of those old memories and stuff.
That's definitely true. I also probably think if you're studying something and you're really, like, immersed in it, I also think that sometimes maybe it causes you to almost look on the opposite side. Like, if you spend, like, years and years on classical, sometimes maybe you'll go the opposite direction, just depending on, like, I guess your mood. I don't know. My dad listened to musicals, so he would drive me to the car blasting ABBA. So, you know, I get nostalgic when I listen to that.
What's with dads and ABBA?
My
dad likes ABBA, too.
My dad never got into ABBA.
That's
what he says. That's what he says, but everyone liked ABBA because they were the most successful band of all time.
Just very catchy. You just can't ignore it.
Yeah.
Tell us about your parents. Were they listening to music that you were into, or were you created a clear divide?
No, it's not a divide. It's not like I didn't like their music. My mom would listen to the oldies station, Fox 97. And my dad, he would listen to the Christian radio.
Mm.
But then he also really liked Elton John, and I would borrow his Elton John albums. And actually, some of the earliest ones was they had an old record player, and I picked it up. And two of the albums I was most fond of listening to from that was Queen's The Game and Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. Had
love
that.
It.
Everyone had that.
Oh.
Hell yeah. So you had a little
my
bit
dad
of...
loves Elton John.
It's...
Loves. Yeah.
It's something that I think all of us here in the room can agree upon, although I must admit I did not grow up with it, but you, Jimmy, did as well. So there's a lot of Elton John fandom.
Yes, I definitely sang that song from the Lion King
yes.
a lot as a kid.
Okay. So it's just that one.
I think I might have sang The Bitches Back a few times,
uh-huh.
mostly because I identified with it.
Do you have a memory of singing along and dancing to any songs?
Tons of them. Just all the. I mean, shoot, I had you know little CD player boombox in my room, and yeah, I'd be pacing around. I don't really sit still, pacing around, playing whatever. I guess with my earliest CDs, it would have been like eventually the hip hop. Like any white rapper, found Eminem.
Right. I was going to ask you about your beginnings into rap. I mean, if Eminem was your introduction into it, that's fair. But I'm curious if that, what was, if anything, your first rap purchase?
Shaquille O'Neal, respect.
Yes!
Yo, Shaq,
awesome.
He puts it down on the court and elsewhere.
That's perfect marketing executed. Shaq was like, not only do I slam dunk on the court, but I slam dunk in your eardrums.
And in that terrible video game that was really terrible.
Shaq Fu.
Shaq Fu was bad.
Never played it.
You wanted
probably
it.
Neither.
Everyone wanted it to be good.
I have all of Shaq's albums, all four.
Are you serious?
You've got a four album?
Well, no, actually it was four plus the Greatest Hits album.
And then
he starred in how many films? Shazam, Steel.
It's actually Kazam.
Oh, Kazam.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo. There you go.
There's
the
actually
Kojima effect.
There's actually a Shazam movie being produced.
You mean Shazam with the lightning bolt and the kid?
I said
yeah.
The Madiba effect. It's the
are they
going to
do it
effect? Sorry.
With the kid turning into the older one? Because I know there's like the different Shazams.
I don't know, but there's actually a connection when we get to the song Blockbuster Bullshit.
Nice.
We'll get to it. We'll get to
okay,
it.
Okay, but there's a connection between that and Shazam.
Okay, so let's actually take this moment to play the first track that you have for us to listen to. And this was made in 2003. What was happening to Rum Chug in 2003 before creating the song?
You know, I was just in college, freshman year.
A piratey funk.
It was freshman year for you.
Yeah.
And didn't Pirates of the Caribbean come out around this time?
That was a little later.
What year was that?
Not totally sure. I know, well, see, this was written in 2002. This is probably more like
there was
a 2003
huge pirate,
recording.
You know.
Yeah.
Upswing. You know?
Yeah, no, I was totally into it before Johnny Depp, before Jack Sparrow.
All right, well, let's take a listen to the, what's the word I'm looking for?
OG pirate shit?
Yeah, let's listen to the OG pirate.
Rum is all I need to justify ill my every deed. I'll lick it up, my thoughts fail to speed. It's run like thief, I take what I need. Give me some whiskey for that bottle of rum. You don't see anyone act so dumb with the gun in my belt and a sword in my hand. I come from the sea to ravish land. Yo, got crew for idiocy. They're all the same, scum as me, but through ignorance. All we see is absolute brutality. Yo, we smell, we kept, we have no vanity. Boy, win every battle that there may be. So was the key to victory. To bring about bonds tremendously. Why, well, got two factors making some. Take ain't bad news, but kegs of rum. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. You don't like me. Come get some, I take you down. No matter who you be, as I burn down town, return to the sea. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. Just allowed to make my sense of thumb. Justify my every crime to make these evil thoughts sublime. I bring chaos. to A territory for Goldsworth. Death and Gorsi and H State Terror has no glory. I shut you up for this is my story. It all began with dreams make history and abandoned now my life of misery. My only option left was to see, thus began my life of piracy. Cause I only live to satisfy me as I'll live. Totally free to abandon every rule's wishes. They can walk my plank and die with the fishes. Vicious I am, but that's how I survive. Just as a spark, the battle's fly. And that's why I'm living my life a lamb, not giving them because I'm unkind. In my future state of mind, for fear of time, sure you find thoughts of death, thoughts of prison, such cold-hearted dreams. Fears I conceal that tear me at the seams. So whether I live right or wrong, it's the only way I know. For the laws of so-called kings are more crooked than my life's road. So pass through me, hearties, we drown our woes with parties. Soon we be drunk with sorrow, sunk where it claps on floor shall be my bunk. Yo ho ho on a ball of rum, you don't like me, come get some. I take you down, oh man, you be as I burn in your town, return to the sea. Yo ho ho on a ball of rum, cause I'm down to make my senses numb, to justify my every crime, and to make these evil thoughts of fun. I sail so proud upon the sea with my hand upon the wheel. My ship be like a tiger shark and it's looking for a kill. Cause there are hard times when I had not done that I couldn't afford a meal. Thus begins a life of crimes that I make the innocent kneel. I'm a threat to society cause I don't let kings rule me. With laws made for their security, thus I rise to villainy. Yelling on your laws I spit, I refuse to submit. As you hide around your armies, cowardly, damn ye! For I'm free, can wage war on the world with my own ship, navy, with a crew that won't betray me as we board a ship to slay thee. Yo ho ho on a ball of rum, you don't like me, come get some. I take you down, oh man, who you be as I burn in your town and return to the sea. Yo ho ho on a ball of rum, goes down to make my senses numb, to justify my every crime, to make these evil thoughts a blunt. Yo ho ho on a ball of rum, you don't like me, come get some. I take you down, oh man, who you be as I burn in your town and return to the sea.
All right, that was very entertaining.
The flow was not yet developed, shall we say. I mean, and just looking back at it, it's just like, geez, I mean, I was going sloppy. That sloppy flow right there.
What were your thoughts listening to that, Allison? I know you're over the phone a little bit, so you can't hear it too well, but you heard it mostly, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it was harder to distinguish words. I more got, like, the beat of it.
A pirate. Very proud of his accomplishments.
A lot of it came from a certain, I guess, fears, concerns, insecurities, ones that rock society. You think about, like you talk about, like, not having money or nothing, and when you're just, like, this punk college kid, it's hard to get money. You know, you can get a job on campus, they pay you less than minimum wage, and you're like, oh man, but you want nice things, you want better drum machines,
says man, if I was a pirate,
you want better microphones. And so it was kind of a fantasy. And I mean, a lot of the hip-hop I listened to was the same thing. It was, you know, I'm broke, so I gotta rob somebody.
Mm-hmm. Were you inspired by any one sort of type of pirate that's in your mind when you're writing something of this variety?
Some of the things I said were taken kind of from this. It's more of a legend, but there's kind of this speech allegedly given by Black Sam Bellamy.
And who was Black Sam Bellamy?
He was a pirate.
Was, yes. Was he now?
But he, like, was a pirate. He had an eye patch.
But he mainly marauded around the northeast coast of the United, what became the United States.
How are we not doing these voices during this whole entire time?
Arr, this is strong.
He went to the East Coast.
And he said something like, in the speech, he said, like, damn ye, you are a sneaking puppy, and so are all those who would submit to laws that rich men make for their own security. And he,
did you just say sneaking puppy?
Yes. And then he ends it by saying, like, I am a free prince, and I have as much right to wage war on the world as he who has 100 sail of ships at sea and 100,000 men in the field. I can make war with the world just as any king.
That's that's their philosophy.
And at the time, I guess another cringe thing, not mean to pick on them, but I was going through a libertarian phase, and it kind of vibed with that.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, though, so, you know.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit. You went through a libertarian phase. I don't think we've ever had this kind of discussion before with anybody who's been on the show. Was that something that you got into based on friends that you had, or was that based on something that you found just through your own readings?
It seemed like a lot of the people I was around, like my older brother, kind of went through that. But I think it was just kind of like, you know, the Gen Xers and millennials in the North Atlanta suburbs, very red, very Republican area. Everybody's Republican, but they don't think Republicans are cool. So they're like, oh, no, I'm libertarian. Okay, fine, gay marriage. Yeah, why not? And legalize pot, sure. But they still go with the, oh, yeah, you know, we'll cut the taxes and everybody will do good. And but here's where hip-hop was so powerful. Honestly, I swear I would probably be some stiff libertarian guy with an MBA if not for Public Enemy in Paris.
Right. So how did that come about?
Well, because Public Enemy, of course, are amazing, revolutionary. And so at the time, sure, I'd say, oh, I disagree with a lot of their stuff, but it's dope.
I mean, it's got a hardcore beat, and it moves you.
But their message is still, I guess maybe they eventually stuck with me or something.
Right. There's something about the music that reels you in. But then the message behind it, when you really dissect the lyrics, really speak to you.
Well, here's the thing. When I go back and criticizing my old political beliefs, it's all about lack of empathy. It's all about ignoring the fact that other people are struggling, that other people don't have it fair. It's the belief that everything's a meritocracy, that, oh, you know, I have what I have because I worked hard, blah, 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 and they're poor because they didn't work hard. But, you know, through listening to the hip hop, and I guess maybe through some of my experiences at the magnet school, it was just kind of like, you think back, it's like, no, it's not fair, it's not just, and let's fight the power.
Exactly. I was afforded more like, you know, privilege because of privilege.
Yes.
That sort of idea.
Privilege.
Tell us about Curtis Don't Hurt Us.
Curtis was, he's one of my best friend's little brothers.
Was he a libertarian too?
I don't know. He's a meteorologist.
Was he handy with a blade?
Oh, wow.
Was he handy with a blade? He's a meteorologist. He's handy with a telescope.
But no,
yeah,
no,
but
this,
he said he
no,
was,
what am I talking about?
He said, Curtis, don't hurt us.
But Jesus, Alon.
But this is going back to so my friend Matt, we've been friends since we were like 10 or 11. And
yeah.
His brother Curtis was like, yeah, maybe like 3 years younger than him. And Curtis was just like such a whiny little, he's a whiny little kid. And his parents were like, they always took his side. And I don't know, just later on as a joke, I wrote a song about Curtis and Don't Hurt Us because it rhymed, and that's how it worked.
All right. So for full disclosure, I do know what a meteorologist is. And here's your AccuWeather forecast in the form of Curtis Don't Hurt Us.
Weather and, with a knife.
I need more time. Come on, 2 weeks for $5,000. You know I can't pull that. Well, don't curse!
Leave us alone! Curtis, don't hurt us! You're bad to the bone! Curtis, don't hurt us! Curtis, leave us alone! Curtis, don't hurt us! You're bad to the bone!
We're just called, you know we called. You saved your car, closed in our top phones. Please find her, they drive away from him. They leave him alone because you paid him. Overall, the dude is wrong. King of Dunway, Mr. Russell, I'll miss you on purpose. Just scare you, but he puts you in the sight. You know you're through, guess Curtis is. Ask Curtis, that's what Curtis is. I went with you once.
Curtis, leave us alone. Curtis, don't hurt us. You're bad to the bone. Curtis, don't hurt us. Curtis, leave us alone. Curtis, don't hurt us. You're bad to the bone.
They saw that Curtis mission special. You've got to check your points and submission. You look the same as you did before. Cause Curtis, they have rich in the daily show. But relax for now, it's just saying that. Zipper bitch shops and clean scum. For the rest of the night, this can't bend your bed. As he goes, money from power to your work. No matter how Curtis is just our day. He'll never again to make his fate. He's a good to grind, but I've got to do that. He's not working on seconds of back. As Curtis said, that's Curtis does. What Curtis says, I won't wish to the west. He'll come day when he needs his final step. As he cleans his gun. For the rest of the night, his can't bend your bed. As he goes,
money from goddamn wire.
Curtis! Donatus! Curtis, leave us alone! Curtis! Donatus! You're back to the bone! Curtis! Donatus! Curtis, leave us alone! Curtis! Donatus! You're back to the bone!
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking, turning the tempo up that fast.
Yeah.
But that was me trying to get that kind of punk energy into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking back, I'm like, geez, what was I thinking, turning the tempo up that fast? Now, I'm actually, like, looking back at it, and I have been thinking about remaking the song, so
okay.
I'll have to keep an eye out for that.
Thoughts by the round
table. Well, I feel like there was just the energy of, like, you not wanting to be hurt, you know? Like, you're, like, I feel like you're being, like, gagged and beaten.
By Curtis, yes.
Yes.
I'm glad that Allison could hear that one a little better than the last one. I'm glad that I had it in my headphones so I could hear the blood-curdling screams of Rumchug telling me that Curtis should not hurt us.
That is, as I said, it's a very special track. I will go back and... I was thinking of doing both the remake and then continuance where I talk about where so Curtis is now.
Okay, it looks like a three-part series.
Yeah.
It'll have a three-part.
Curtis!
So wait, better question is, because this music is made all on your computer, what software were you using to create this?
Well, the beat was made on a Boss DR5 drum machine, just kind of a simple one. It's not even really meant for hip-hop. It was meant for, you know, like singer-songwriter types for accompaniment, but... what I just happened to buy. I just said I need to buy a drum machine. I went on eBay. The price looked right. Okay, fine. I'll buy that. First, I started recording on Acid Music and then moved on to Adobe Audition.
Sounded like you tried to do a little differently than what normal beat makers would use.
I guess so. That was around the time Fruity Loops or FL
Absolutely.
Studio started yeah. to get big.
It was like right around 2003, 2004 yeah. when Ninth Wonder was coming out with all that Fruity Loops type music.
But why I had Drum Machine in my head was from the song Two Hard Mothers on the Eazy-E's Eazy Does It album. And he says, "Yo, Dre, where's the goddamn drum machine?" And they're talking about a drum machine. So I had to get a drum machine. That's how beats are made, right?
Mm-hmm. That was done around the same time in freshman year?
Yeah.
Wow. It's impressive, man. So you come in and you're totally like the kid who's like doing bedroom producing. Bedroom producing, if you will. And what would you say was the impression amongst your peers? Did they know that you were making music like this?
Yeah, it was hard to hide it because I remember once like doing some takes, and then I, you know, left my room to go to the bathroom, and there's some people standing outside.
Curtis!
But then I did, they had a rapping contest, and I went up, and I came second, and that was cool.
Amazing.
So it just kind of motivated. But I don't know, people just got kind of behind it, and I think, again, with my punk rock beliefs or aesthetic, it was just kind of like, I said, you know, I can make up for my lack of talent and ability with pure raw passion.
When we come back, we will have more... of
more passion
of the passion more power and the passion with Rumchug. Allison calling to us straight from New Orleans, Jimmy and I here in the studio for this edition of Lost and Rewound. We'll be back in a little bit after these special words. You've heard me hinting at this for the last few weeks or so, but in case you're not aware, I'm going to be making my directorial debut in a matter of weeks at the Secret Loft, March 12th. That's a Monday, 7:30. Doors open. You got to get your tickets online, okay? Go to secretloftnyc.com. I'm directing and producing a beautiful, talented cast of 13 singers and actors, a five-piece band. It's the Phantom of the Paradise in Concert extravaganza that I have been working on for almost a year now, it feels like. But it's been full throttle for the last few months. We are going to be putting on this amazing in-concert experience of Phantom of the Paradise, the 1974 film that was directed and written by Brian De Palma and scored by the legendary singer-songwriter Paul Williams. This has been a dream of mine, and I... encourage you all to go and check out Phantom of the Paradise in concert at the Secret Loft March 12th, March 19th, and March 26th. Those are all Mondays, and tickets, again, can be found online at secretloftnyc.com. And we're also having a Indiegogo campaign, so if you like more information about how to contribute to that, please email your inquiries and interests to do so at phantomofparadise2018@gmail.com. Thanks for the support. And we're back with Mr. Rumchug. Not to be confused with just plain old Rumchug. Mr. Rumchug.
No, here. Mr. Rumchug.
Dr. Rumchug, if he can go to 4 years of hip-hop school.
Dr. Rumchug.
Hip-hop medical school.
Rumchug, PhD. Here in the studio with us on this edition. Yeah, Allison, you have to say?
Well, I was going to say, is there going to be a Mr. Rumchug the second?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
No, he hasn't gotten that far. He's but a babe. He's got time.
Jeez. what a peculiar question to ask.
God, it's like you turn 30 and all of a sudden like you have to become a baby making machine, huh?
Jeez, patriarchy,
you know,
Al over here.
For hundreds of years for that, so I'm just asking on the male side, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next track on this list is called Blockbuster Bullshit. That's not a tongue twister at all, but is this maybe in reference to the video chain?
Yes, and just to clarify, this isn't so much a Rumchug track. This is a Tribal Blarf track.
You're going to have to start over. Tribal Blarf.
Yeah, so this was some of my closest friends. The problem was we were all spread out. One was living in Athens, another in Atlanta, and I was in Statesboro. We were jamming. It was like 1 a.m. We went to Walmart because there was nothing else to do at the time. And... there's a shirt that said Tribal Surf, but somebody held it up and somebody read it from a distance and was like, Tribal Blarf? And so we came up with this project. We wrote a bunch of songs and we...
Tribal Blarf!
And we just played it out. We wrote those songs and then the next day we played them and I was freestyling. So this was like my first time kind of freestyling in front of a crowd.
Yes, you had written mostly. You weren't ever an off-the-dome rapper.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So it was a good experiment in that.
All right.
If you ever go off the dome, you have to say Corleone at some point.
Only you would. All right. No bullshit.
All my raps come back to the Godfather at some point.
No.
Tessio, why did you betray me?
No more Godfather bullshit
they
now.
They pull me back in.
The Blockbuster bullshit.
Now, I already sung a song about how we hate our jobs. So when you hate your job, what you want to do is quit and get a new job. But sometimes you can't get a new job because there are assholes that won't let you work for them.
The man.
This song is about one of these people. It's called Blockbuster Bullshit.
warn you, you won't be eating from a pumpkin childish. It's stupid to erase your body and not to fuck out.
Oh boy!
I want to point out something. We record.
How much do you want to point out?
Well, okay, so that
like a list.
Hollywood Video Sucks.
That was like 2004.
Uh huh.
And then like 2012. About all the blockbusters are gone. That's not a coincidence.
Just putting it out there.
Or you just were there at the right time for the curve of interest in not renting videos anymore. So you were capitalizing and creating a statement that worked with the curve of technology.
See, I don't miss Blockbuster, but I do miss Hollywood Video, man.
I miss the mom and pop stores.
Yeah, I'm with him on that.
Packed with just like everything. Yeah.
So there was five of you up there.
Yeah.
And that was cacophonous, if you don't mind me saying so.
It was like, what?
Cacophonous.
Oh, yes,
like,
thank you. I mean, it was recorded.
That was exactly what you wanted.
It was recorded from the, that was the laptop microphone picking up that recording.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was not state of the art. And you know, it's funny. I love Tribal Blarf because we cooked that up. We cooked up those songs in one night and we didn't practice. And still, I love the passion. I love the energy. And I wish we could have done more with it, but I was in Statesboro, Matt was in Athens, Adam and the others were in Atlanta, and it just really couldn't work out so much.
Is Punk Rock Hall also done by the same members that we just heard?
No, this is more of a Rum Chug track, except it has one of my old roommates.
This is so confusing. You're calling the hip-hop tracks punk rock? You're calling the punk rock tracks hip-hop? I just don't understand anymore. I'm doing my Bernie Sanders here in the studio.
it's all,
that was not bad.
It's all about a journey, and the people who help you out in the journey. I became an RA.
How long were you an RA for?
Half a year.
Oh, okay. You couldn't even complete a whole year.
No, because I drank with other RAs who were underage. So.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Yeah, this was one of my residents drew on the guitar, and I had just this little beat on. This is my new drum machine. This was the Emu MP7. That was when I did a step up, and for like years and years, it was like my go-to drum machine. But I made this little beat, and he played guitar, and I wrote the song, and it's glorious.
Awesome.
It's about my philosophy as a punk rock RA.
From a philosophy of pirate to a philosophy as a punk rock RA in Georgia. Let's do it.
Rule 1, have fun at the start of every day.
I mean, I'm going to punch you in your mouth is one of my favorite lyrics. And the irony of it right now, too, is there's a rooster about 3 doors down just crying. It's not crying. What does a rooster do?
That's not surprising.
But yeah, no, it's not surprising, but it's awesome.
That there's a rooster as you're listening to, I'm going to punch you in your mouth.
Yes.
If a rooster was a human, would it punch you in the mouth?
I think so.
Roosters would do something grimy like that.
Cockfighting.
They don't give a snip.
Nope. Sounds a lot more polished, admittedly, than a lot of the stuff you were playing earlier in college.
Yeah, there's definitely growth here. And I don't know, the whole thing about the song, I kind of like, I never was like a real punk. I was a poser, so that was kind of what the lyrics were kind of like, you know, saying like you have to get a mohawk and, you know.
No, just, I gathered that.
Just kind of making fun of those punk tropes in a way.
You can't be more of a punk than I am.
Right. But I was excited about being an RA, so like I wrote that song before I became an RA and then recorded it later on.
You must have had an experience with an RA, Allison.
Yeah, I had an RA. Wow. My RA would smoke pot with me.
Did they get pulled from their position
as an
RA?
Yeah, you can get fired for that.
No, well, I only had an RA for like a year and a half, and then I moved into my own studio apartment.
Got it.
Like out of housing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely forgot to put in my housing form. And then when the next year came around, they were like, oh, you better find an apartment or you can't, you know, what are you going to do, son? And then I was just like, ugh. And they were like, also, all sophomores are required to live on campus, but you can't live on campus. We had RAs that were almost always universally annoying. Even the cool ones were annoying at my school. And I had a pretty like laid back school. I only had one RA that was ever good. He was on the cover of the student handbook. He didn't care about anything. Like, my school was not athletic, and he was the one athlete at my whole job, the only jock at my whole school. And he would just be like, dude, I just do whatever you want.
For the first 2 years, I lived in a single. Didn't have to have roommates at all for at least 3 of the years of my 4 years in undergrad. My first and second year, I lived right next door to the RA's room, so I did all of my nefarious activities elsewhere.
Yeah, I never wrote anybody up. And, like, I remember doing the room inspections, and I see some dudes that got, like, their empty liquor bottles, and they're just like, yo, just hide those.
You were one of the chill ones.
Yeah. If they were smoking pot, I'd just say, hey, cover that up.
No, I'd be that kind of guy that would walk in, and like, I'd see, like, the open bottles, if I was. I never had a position of authority like that, for good reason.
It's just, look, who wants to be that guy who, like, okay, everybody drinks and whatever. Who wants to be the guy who busts kids for doing that?
No, it'd be even better to be like the guy who doesn't bust you, but is also dirty. You know what I'm talking about? So you walk in and you're like, oh, look at this open bottle of whiskey, huh? And you just like drink it to the face. And you're like, yeah, I didn't see that.
I was wondering when that voice was going to come out.
For our final act, you're going to be rapping over the beat that you made on your laptop and sequenced into my computer before it went to air.
Yeah, it's a different approach, but as far as like what I've been doing in New York with playing live, so I have my turntable, I have my guitar, and it's to add a bit of live spontaneity to hip-hop, which hip-hop sometimes has a hard time of achieving.
Yeah. My understanding is that you've been implementing this process through the open mic scene.
Yeah, do some open mics, mainly Brooklyn, Staten Island. And everything I've done is kind of like a utilitarian as far as that process. So like the keytar, when I first started, I didn't have the keytar. I had my mini synth, but the mini synth meant, oh, I need an extra stand for that. And then it was also, oh, but and it also needs a power source. And then if I was like rocking here, I'd be like, oh, where's C? Where's middle C? And so the keytar was nice, just being able to wear the keys and have it on me. And then it runs on batteries.
Yeah.
And I don't need a stand.
I mean, I'm basically envious of your entire setup right now.
And then people think it's cool. Yeah, I mean, it has that added
factor. It's just like when Ja Rule said, baby girl, put it on me.
Happy birthday, Ja Rule! Ja Rule's going to be turning 10 or 11.
Murder.
Also, you were saying keytar, and I thought for like the first 2 times you said keytar, I thought you were saying guitar.
Oh, I'm going to text you this photo. It's legit.
You can look at my Instagram. I posted a photo of it.
It's beautiful.
At Slim Jim Jammer.
CDJ, a Roland keytar, and all made through his beats on his laptop, through my laptop, and we're going to play this beat, and Rumchug is going to rhyme over it.
said, like, you know, I learned bass, and so I also, like, play some guitar, and so there's a little guitar twinging that I did in there. And
cool.
Can I stand up for this?
Yeah, you may, you may. This is a Lost and Rewound first in terms of the way this is set up, so let's give it a shot here. I'm going to play the beat.
I get loud when I rap. You might want to turn down my levels.
Okay. Lost and Rewound.
Let's get loud.
Lost and Rewound, you've got the floor.
The Waffle House, that's how it'll be. Meet behind the Waffle House if you want a piece of me. So meet me behind the Waffle House, and don't you try to punk out. I said, meet me behind the Waffle House, or I'm gonna kick your ass and then I'll eat some grits. I'm gonna kick your ass behind the Waffle House. I'm gonna show you what I'm all about. See, I'm about my ends and I'll play pretend. I got messages to send and I'm about revenge. You talk so much shit and negativity, so I'm inviting you to this vicinity. Hey, you better show up. And you better be prepared. I can send to the date, so you can wait around scared. I'll have you crying out, life ain't fair. And I'll body slam your ass like an Emmerich Flair. Bones will break, muscles will tear. So apologize now, we will sell it there. But you won't know, cause your head is too hard. And you straight up insist that I pull your card. So you keep on pissing me off, and I'll throw punches till your head goes soft. And maybe next time you'll use some logic, and maybe next time you'll just admit to being strong. Don't try to be wrong, because you've been a sucker all along. I wanna kick your ass, and hatchments are good. So meet me on the Waffle House in my neighborhood, where I'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll kick your ass, eat waffles, and then I'll go home. So meet me on the Waffle House, and don't you try to punk out. I said, meet me behind the Waffle House, where I'm gonna kick your ass and then I'll eat some grits. Oh, buddy, your toast, but there's no raisins in you. Unlike the toast that's served by the Waffle House crew, I'm gonna kick your ass, I promise I will. You're fried like the eggs on the Waffle House grill. All those insults that you said in the past, well, I'm telling you, son, they will not last. You better go and watch your ass, because your lifeline is fading fast. Behind the Waffle House, I'm an animal without a conscience or a soul. A will on you beyond control. So take a moment to console. Make peace with me or make peace with God. Either way, you'll want to be neat to stop. I'm gonna kick your ass for starting all this drama. And there's no hope for you, not even from Obama. So as long as you're here, have last meal. Go ahead and order whatever you feel. So have the grits and have the coffee. But no matter what you do, you ain't gonna stop me. So meet me by the Waffle House, and don't you try to poke out. I said, meet me by the Waffle House. I'm going to kick your ass and I'll eat some grits. Well, people like to talk some shit online. I said, meet me on the Waffle House. You clearly have the time. You talk smack on the web when you say it to my face. Meet me on the Waffle House and put me in my place. You're a coward. And I can tell that you're just a chump who tries to sell an image site stuff when he's on a website. But in real life, I bet you can't fight. You're probably a chump. And if I'm the right, then you might as well show up and put out my lights. I'll be drinking sweet tea while I wait. And wait, just please, mother, the hash browns on my plate. If I could reach my hands right through the screen and choke you through yours, you know I would. I'd save a little time and I'd save a little gas. I'd do it right now if I could. But you can only beat up people who you know in real life. So I gotta meet you here and waste this night. But it'll be worth it to beat you up in a fight and show you who really has the might. On the web, you can ban me and call me names. The only place you'll beat me is in video games. So for once in your life, back your words up with action. Come on out for IRL satisfaction. So meet me behind the Waffle House, and don't you try to punk out. I said, meet me by the Waffle House, where I'm gonna kick your ass and then I'll eat some grits. Oh, meet me by the Waffle House, and don't you try to punk out. I said, meet me by the Waffle House, where I'm gonna kick your ass and then I'll eat some grits. Oh, Waffle House, it's America's place to eat, but I'm making it America's place to fight.
Damn, though.
Wow.
I mean, also, like, I have passed about 100 Waffle Houses driving Manila.
Yeah.
And I've eaten a lot of grits, so I feel at home right now.
And would you meet him behind the Waffle House?
I would not, but now I'm going to eat some grits and beat someone up behind the Waffle House.
Yes! Creating inspiration.
I'm telling you, there's a reason that's his signature track.
Damn, though. My God.
Dang, that was great.
That was phenomenal. Honestly, like, we get a whole lot of acoustic joints in here that are powerful, but, like, in terms of you stood up, you shouted, you poured into the microphone, man. That was legit.
The live stuff, especially, like, when I'm doing stuff live, it just feels like a whole nother level. Just you're pumped up, and I unleash it, and that's why I go for, like, this live madness when I'm up.
You can only do so much on a recording, but then when you're actually performing it live, it's just it's very effective.
You gotta take it to the streets, and I felt like I've never had that opportunity,
because
after I joined the Coast Guard, they sent me to Valdez, Alaska. There's no hip-hop scene there, and then there was Charleston, and there wasn't really much of a scene there, but now I'm in New York, and New York's the place. This is the birthplace of hip-hop, and I'm making things happen.
Where can people find you online? You got the Bandcamp and a SoundCloud, yeah?
Yeah, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, that's Rumchug, that's RUMCHUG, one word. Facebook, Instagrams, you know, it's social media. I also have
I love that you call them Instagrams, because honestly, that's what they should be called.
Right, yeah. Why not?
We can see them like sometimes.
Yeah, like Golden Grams, Instant Grams.
You can see them sometimes at my mic on Mondays at Tilt.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I go Jimmy's mic.
He comes to bless the mic. Thank you, sir.
I have a rumchug.com. I need to, like, finish it. I'm kind of lazy on that.
But everybody can hear your music, buy your music, be able to follow in where you're going to be next.
Oh, yeah, Facebook. Because the SoundCloud with the Rumchug, that's since I have my country tracks on there, too. That's a whole other level. Maybe we'll do that later.
Other level. You'll have to come back again for that sometime.
Yeah, I did country. I mainly recorded country in Valdez. I kind of stopped doing hip-hop for a while. But from the country music, I learned so much about recording and just song progression and stuff. It was a great lesson.
Rumchug here on Lost and Rewound. I think that's a successful episode, don't you think?
It is. It's great.
Absolutely.
Allison, you rock for calling in and being a part of today's fun and excitement.
It was awesome. You're going to have to superimpose my face.
Well, that's...
Oh, true. We're going to have to add you to the picture, right?
Yeah. We'll figure something out. Just take a photo of yourself in your current state, and then we'll figure out a way.
Make sure you're, like, smiling a lot in the way that you would be with us.
Oh, okay, well.
We got to get out of here. Rob Pritchard's coming up shortly with the Brooklyn band Stand. And that is it for Lost and Rewound. This has been episode 113, and we will be back next week with another unpredictable and exciting edition of this tape archaeology. I'm Alon.
I'm Jimmy.
I'm Allison.
And we got Rumchug here as well.
Rumchug.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
And, thank you. This was fun.
Yeah. And thanks to all our listeners. You'll hear us right here on Radio Free Brooklyn next week.
Lost and Rewound.
Come and get embarrassed with us.
Does your butt itch you? Does your taint tingle more often than you'd like?
Keep going.
Do you need taint help? We got the taint experts.
Experts.
You're jackass.